I'm Cherry Gregg, and this is a Studio 2 Extra. When Felicia Wilson was in her 40s, she made a risky career pivot from daycare provider to restaurant owner. She opened Amina on Chestnut Street in Old City and quickly outgrew the space. Her African-inspired Southern food like peri-peri chicken wings and braised oxtail have become staples for regular visitors and tons of new customers. Amina is now a much bigger location in Northern Liberties, and it's just one of five restaurants in the Amina Hospitality Collection. Felicia Wilson joined me in our Philadelphia studio to talk about her passion for taking care of others, her love of food, and why she decided to take the leap into the restaurant business.
So after the pandemic, childcare changed tremendously. Parents were still going with a lot of the arrangements that they already had in place during the pandemic, family members watching their children, or they were just simply working from home. So our enrollment in childcare centers never got back to how it was pre-pandemic. So I always had a dream as a retirement goal. I said, oh, when I retire, I'm going to open up a little lounge where people could come just drink cocktails and relax, have some small plates. So I ran into someone who had a liquor license for sale, and I was like, oh, well, since childcare seems to be changing, I can make a pivot now.
And so you decided, okay, I'm going to go on this retirement goal and I'm going to open up a restaurant.
Yes.
What is it about restaurants that always attracted you?
I just think the hospitality piece of it all. Like even now when I walk in to any of our restaurants, I always look at when someone takes the first bite. It gives me like chills.
It gives you chills?
Yeah, because it's like, I like to see someone say, oh, this is good.
Do you cook?
I don't.
What? Explain this to me. Like, yeah. How is it that you don't cook, but you are, you know, curating and dealing with restaurants and multiple restaurants?
I've always liked food, always liked going to restaurants, right? And I mean, I still do. I try to get out as much as I can now to just see different trends in restaurants. But I've never had a passion for cooking, always a passion for eating.
You call this the Amina Hospitality Collection. Why do you call it a collection? Because it's not a chain. All of them are so different.
They're all different. So I like to look at them as like when you look at art, like a masterpiece of when you look at artists, they usually call their artwork collections. Each piece is a masterpiece of their collection of what they own. So because each restaurant is different, has its own different vibe, its own theme, a different menu, I like to call it a collection, because each of the restaurants has its own masterpiece of art, if you will.
And who curates this? Because I know you have a collaborator, Chef Daryl Harmon, that you work with. So who curates the vibe? Who decides on this thing? Like, how do you figure out Amina's going to be this versus Amina is going to be that?
Sometimes it just kind of like comes to me and I'm like, oh, I want to do this theme. And, you know, then me and Daryl work together on a menu that matches the theme. And then I go further in terms of the decor and the layout and what music is played to all go in line with what we want to see at the restaurant.
So let's use Amina, your crown jewel of the collection. Describe the aesthetic for Amina and what you were trying to accomplish through the menu.
Amina is my five-year-old. Amina was the first female warrior of Nigeria. I wanted the restaurant to reflect the warrior, the female warrior, giving like power at that point when we were at that location on 104 Chestnut. The warriors were like on the wall as you entered the kitchen. So our idea was like the warriors were the protector of the kitchen. And I wanted the menu to be soul food, but to be on an elevated level, not your just regular mac and cheese or your, collard greens, just to do it on an elevated level for that dining experience. And also to incorporate some Nigerian influences. So then we use some Nigerian spices, like a peri-peri spice, which we put in the sauce. Our Nigerian hot chicken sandwich comes with peanut butter sauce on it.
By the way, I had that. That's delicious.
Really?
It is so good.
Too. It is good.
And so is that an example how you take a regular hot chicken and elevate it to an Amina style?
Yes.
Give me another example.
We've added on jollof rice, which is obviously known in Nigeria as well. We've added a pressed chicken within a peanut stew. Those are two examples.
But running, you know, a restaurant is hard. Mm-hmm. I mean, how do you balance all of this? It's not an easy feat.
No, so basically now as an organizational structure, we're more into a corporate structure. You know, before I was doing everything. I was doing HR, I was doing payroll, and I was doing working in the kitchen. So now I've kind of had to delegate those responsibilities because it's become too much just for, you know, my one-man show.
How does that feel?
It's a lot. You know, you want to do it your way, or you want it to be done your way, and you got to step back and let someone do it their way, how they get the job done.
Where do the roots of all of this come from? Like, how did you grow up and then sort of fall in love with all these different types of flavors and foods?
I think just home, just I was always raised, you know, Sunday dinner being very important. Eating out on a Friday night was like a treat. Like, you want to have the best behavior so we could get pizza on Friday, right? So my mom always cooked every night. And even like as I got older, going out to dinner was like a big deal. It just became something that I really liked.
Are you from Philly?
West Oak Lane.
So you're from the West Oak Lane. Mm-hmm. Mom always cooking.
Yep.
And you always seeing dining as this special treat.
Exactly.
Do you try to treat your restaurants that way? Like, knowing that that's how families and, and couples and individuals come to your restaurants?
I do. So we try to, you know, make it as the best experience as possible for our guests. And I'm even doing that now with my daughters because I'm not with them all the time. So now on Mondays are our day is Mommy Mondays, and we always go out to dinner.
Yeah, you take your girls. Because you have a first son. You sort of made this collection almost a tribute to your children in some ways.
Yes.
And why?
No, I want to leave them with something, the legacy, so that they have something. I think it's not done a lot, you know, as being a Black female. So it was very important to me to make sure that my children had it and then establish some generational wealth for them.
And I got to ask you this because Philly is a tough food town.
Very tough.
And it's an even tougher business town. Mm-hmm. How do you know when a concept is working? How do you know when to shift? Because you look at the market. We have we're a food town,
right,
too.
Right.
And there's tons of restaurants in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. You know, how did you sort of develop these concepts and know that it would stick? Because it really has.
Yeah. So, I mean, we do some level of what's R&D, as we say, or research and development. So we look at the area, you know, we would be opening the concept in, looking at the income brackets, looking at the people that live in those areas, but also that live close by or that would travel to. And some of the, just looking at some of the trends. I mean, oyster bars are very, really popular now. Like when we started off Amina, I can say there was nothing of soul food in that area. So we do our development by saying, okay, this is our research by saying, okay, this is a tourist city. So tourist part of the city. So we're going to have people coming from all over to experience which I consider that we become a staple in the city, right? And we become a tourist attraction as well. We have people come from all over, so.
And you're in some really cool neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. Old City,
yep.
University City, Northern Liberties, Art Museum. Those are not necessarily areas where you necessarily see Black-owned businesses all
Correct.
The time.
Correct.
How do you feel about that? Like, just sort of pushing into neighborhoods where typically you don't see a lot of Black and brown people.
So it's a good feeling. It's also a lot of pressure, too. Because you have to, you know, be 10 steps ahead and raise the bar because it's kind of like you are a leader within what you're saying in terms of not seeing Black and brown businesses in those areas. So once that's been established, you want to be able to keep it so then you can bring your next Black and brown counterpart behind you to those same areas. I never envisioned it being past Amina, right? So when those opportunities presented itself, it kind of like, okay, I gotta go for them.
So this wasn't even your vision to be like, I'm about to open 7 restaurants.
No, it really wasn't.
Like, what was your initial vision?
My initial vision was like, I'm just gonna have this one little 1100 square foot restaurant.
And then
I don't know.
Stuff started happening.
We were like, but as far as Amina, we were like busting out the seams. Like, I never ever imagined what happened with Amina. Like, I was even scared because, you know, you hear of like within the first 5 years, restaurants fail, and possibly sometimes within the first year they fail. And I didn't have a background in restaurants at all. Like, I've never worked in one or anything, right? Don't even cook, right? So I was so scared, but the response was so overwhelming. We couldn't even handle the space. I was really getting Black Hen because I needed another kitchen to cook out of.
And where do you think all of this comes from?
I just think it's in you. I've always been an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. So I think now, as being an older entrepreneur, I've looked at things differently in terms of focusing in one area. I think the young me, I wanted to do this and do that and do that, this business, that business, where now I just said, let's focus here and then go vertical, you know. Mm-hmm. So,
and I think about that. Do you see yourself beyond Philadelphia, or is Philly the mass? Yeah. So what's your wish? Because it seems like you're starting to get a bigger vision.
Yeah, I do. So I'm looking at things in Miami and looking at things in Texas.
Wow.
Yeah.
5 years ago.
No.
Would you have ever imagined?
No.
Is that a lesson to you?
Yeah.
And what's the lesson?
Keep going. When opportunities present themselves, keep going and have a lot of faith that you'll be fine.
Yeah. So I look forward to, you know, Amina Ocean.
Yeah.
Table 8460.
Mm-hmm.
And can you give us a sneak peek of what it's going to be, the concepts for those two?
So for Table 8460 is a farm to table concept, a collaboration with local farmers, bringing in all of our vegetables and fruits, and even working with some community gardens. Even where that location is, they have a garden there, and we'll be getting a lot of the vegetables from them. And Amina Ocean is seafood concept, more on the southern style of things. Ocean will be where you could get your fried catfish and things mm-hmm. like that.
Yeah, maybe some crawfish. I don't know. Uh-oh, because when I think southern seafood, I think Louisiana,
yep.
You know. So I want to have a little fun with you.
Okay.
A little light segment. And, you know, it's lightning round. So first thing that comes to mind, you know, just tell me. Best bite in Philadelphia, not at your restaurants, though.
Oh, now this is hard.
It's hard. So many things. Give me a couple. The first few things that come to mind that you just like, I got to get some of this.
Honestly, Jenny's ice cream to die for.
Mm-hmm. Most slept on spice in your kitchen.
Peri peri. It's spicy, but it's sweet. It has this kick, like, that's perfect because I'm not a spice person.
And you like that.
Yeah.
Your go-to meal when you're exhausted and you ain't got nothing in the refrigerator.
Cereal.
That's what you go for.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
That's if I got milk. That's not bad.
Because you don't even got food out. If you get to rename Philly's food identity in three words, what would those words be? Like, if you wanted to make a mark on this scene, what would you sort of rename it?
Culture, vibe, maybe love.
Culture, vibe, love. Mm-hmm. Wow. That says a lot.
Right.
Because it's a lot of love in the food. A
lot of love in the food.
And so as we wrap up, I want to ask you, like, what do you hope people feel when they leave your restaurants? Because I want to get at this theme that ties them all together, even though they're so different.
A full belly and a great experience that you don't forget. You want to come back.
Well, I have to say, Felicia Wilson, I have been fascinated by your trajectory and so interested in all the things that you're doing. So thank you for being on Studio 2.
Thank you.
That is Felicia Wilson, the owner of Amina Hospitality Collection, which includes popular spots like Black Hen, Ivana, and First Daughter Oyster Company. Thank you for tuning into this Studio 2 Extra. Our show is produced by Debbie Bilder, Paige Murray Bessler, and Andreas Copes. Al Banks is our engineer. Mike Schiffler is our visual producer. Our executive producer is Kevin McCory. From Studio 2 at WHYY in Philadelphia, I'm Cherry Gregg. Thanks so much for listening.